It's a really great opportunity to be here today. There may not be many more of these for me. I do have, you know, when I started in New Orleans in 1981, I was a little bit younger than I am today. And I have missed two Beltwide meetings in the last 39 years. So, you know, I've been pretty loyal to this meeting, and I've really enjoyed being here. So with that, I'm going to talk today a little bit about the work we've got going on in zinc and in cotton and corn. Since it's the cotton meeting, I have hidden the corn slides. But if you have corn questions, I do have information in here, but we will not talk about it today. I do want to acknowledge my research associate and grad student, Richard Turner, on this project. I have been at Stonebwell since 1980. I came there to work on cotton and rice, and had never seen either one of those crops grow before. So, you know, I have managed to put a career together, I think, over the last 38 years. A lot of that's been geared towards fertilizer management on all the crops that I've worked with. And as you saw from the previous slide, I've worked on a lot of different crops over the year. All of these built around this 4R nutrient management framework, where we want the right source applied at the right time, at the right rate, and in the right place. And we do that for all the crops that we're working at. That way we really get focused on the best management practices. Talking a little bit about zinc, we've seen zinc deficiency showing up in corn in the Mississippi Delta. When we went to grain crop, we started to see some of those deficiency symptoms showing up. If you look at the middle slide at the bottom, you see what that kind of looks like. And it's not to be confused with potassium. Sometimes you start looking at that interveinal callosis and stuff, you might think it's potassium. But generally you get a rosetting, you get more stunted growth with the zinc situations, and we do see it some. Getting to the materials and methods, we've got this at the experiment station at Stonebwell. It's on a Voskett, very fine sandy loam. And as I indicated, this is a corn cotton rotation system, so the corn rates are 120 up to 240 pounds of N. And the zinc rates for both cotton and corn are 0, 5, 10, and 15 pounds of zinc per acre. We're using a dissolving zinc sulfate in water, in hot water in the lab. Just helps to facilitate that. It makes it easier to apply. It's a salt. We dilute it down, and we put it out with the same applicator that we put our insol out with. We're using insol UAN solution as our nitrogen source. And then the zinc, as I indicated, was zinc sulfate. This shows you what it looks like in the field. We've got the area set up in the center of the field as our zinc research area, and we just rotate the corn and the cotton with the zinc rates staying the same. So when it's corn, the high zinc rate is still 15. When it switches to cotton, those plots still get a 15 pound per acre zinc rate. So what we're trying to see if we can actually make a difference there. So if you look, this is both 2016, 2018, then 2017 to just switch to the other side. This shows you what the field looks like at Stonebwell. This is an aerial view of it showing the soil types. And the plot area we're talking about is within that red box. That basically splits the area. And it's a single soil type, which is unusual to get a test on a single soil site in the Mississippi Delta. Just to give you an idea where we stand on that soil when we got started, the pH, and these are from two different sites, it's an average of about 100 plots or 80 plots going into each one of these numbers. The pH was in the 5.4 to 5.9 range, but it ranged from as low as 4.8 to a high of 6.8. In the case of 4.8, we need to be liming in that situation, but it's just a few plots. So we did lime that field. We tried to do it last year, but trying to be an experiment station to get a fertilizer applicator to apply lime is dang near impossible. So we bought our own system now. Phosphorus levels are high in this area. Anything over about 72 is going to be considered high, and this is in pounds per acre. Potash above about 320 is going to be in the high range. So P and K are not limiting in this area. Talking about cation exchange capacity, you notice that our cation exchange capacity is down in the sandy loam range, and the organic matter is less than 1%. Now, you'll notice also that some of those organic matters range down to as low as 0.5%. And this has been in a corn-cotton rotation since 2000. So people talk about using corn in a rotation to build organic matter. I don't know that I agree with that. If you go in there and till, you're burning it back up again. The zinc levels on one of those averages is about 4.5. But one of the things that's interesting, if you look at here, 10 of the samples were greater than 10. In that one test, 66 samples were less than 2. So the majority of the field has less than 2 pounds of zinc per acre. In the other test, 74 samples of 2 or less. So this was a prime area to be considering looking at zinc possibilities in this field. So this is the, and I have three slides that look like this, and I have a slide for each year to look at the main effects. This is the interaction effects. This is the 2016 zinc test where our zinc yields, now this is irrigated cotton, but we still saw quite a bit of range in there. Now we did use a lower nitrogen rate. Normally on this soil, we would recommend 90 to 120 pounds of N per acre. So we should have expected a lower yield with 30 and 60 pounds per acre. So this is the overall treatment effects. There was no significant interaction. Now, if you look at that 0.056, that's pretty close, but technically it was not significant. So if we look at the main effects for that year, this is the nitrogen rate effect. Notice that we got a significant response in nitrogen. Now, this is averaged across all replications, averaged across the zinc levels. So we saw a response to nitrogen up to 90 pounds of N per acre. Now, most of this is what we normally see in this area, but there was no additional yield increase when we added the additional 30 pounds of N. In fact, numerically, they're almost identical to the same number. If we look at main effects, again, we can do this because we had no interaction effects. So we can look at main effects statistically. We see an indication of a response to zinc in that lower, but statistically, it's not significant. The probability of a zinc rate response there is 0.07. So sometimes you'll see scientists go in there and use a 10% level of significance. I chose a priori 5%. So I didn't cheat, and I didn't go in there and say they were significant at the 10% level because I chose 5% to start with. But you do see the trends there, and that's the thing I want to point out. We're seeing a trend towards a response to zinc, but statistically not significant at the 5% level. This is 2017. Now we have rotated now. We flipped it over. The cotton is growing behind corn and had zinc applied the previous year. So now the zero zinc rates have still had no zero, but the 30-pound zinc, the 15-pound zinc rate had 15 pounds in 16 and 15 pounds in 17. And then in 18, we'll have another 15 pounds. So again, you see this. Now you notice that the yields are quite a bit better in 2017. We had a good year. Even with 30 pounds of N per acre, over 1,100 pounds of lint cotton. That's pretty substantial for our area, but following corn. Now, if you come back later on this afternoon, I'm going to be talking about crop rotation. I'll get a lot more into this rotation effect. But going on, again, interactions are not significant. That's 0.5 level now. So let's look at main effects. Again, for nitrogen, now notice in 2017, we saw a significant response from 30 up to 60, but we did not see a difference between 60 and 90 or 60 and 120. So no additional response to nitrogen, but the yields are quite a bit higher. We're talking about 1,300 pound lint yields. We take a look here at the zinc, the main effects for zinc. Now again, we still use that same 5% level, but we did see that yields with zinc in this situation were significantly higher when we added at least 5 pounds of zinc. Now adding additional zinc did not give us any additional response, but at least we did see a response where we did add zinc in this. So from a scientific perspective, when we put out treatments, we hope to find something. So in this case, now, remember, this is 17. 2018 did happen. So I do have data to report. Again, yields range here from about 1,000 up to about 1,200, almost 1,300 pounds of lint per acre. We did see treatment variations out there. Again, no significant interaction in terms, so let's go to the main effects. The main effects, no response to nitrogen. None at all. Now you see that the probability there is about 12% probability of a response to nitrogen. Now what happened in this year that's different from the others? We had a lot of rain late in the season. One of the things that I have seen with crop rotation, following corn, if we get really big cotton, which we usually do, that's what we want following the corn in rotation. But the problem you can run into is if you start getting a lot of rain, a lot of cloudy weather, the cotton following corn tends to suffer more than cotton following cotton. So I think that may be some of the things going on. This was not a good year to try to get any crops harvested. I probably had more success getting out corn and cotton than I did soybeans, but we did get it all out eventually. If we look at response to zinc, now we're seeing a pretty drastic response to zinc. Now we're back in the same field that we were in 2016. You know, we've been flip-flopping them. So now you can see a pretty substantial increase with the zinc. And that range now is almost 350 pounds. Response to zinc. So going from zero, now again, that's zero in the past 3 years. It's had no zinc. The high rate, the 15 pound, has actually had 45 pounds of zinc applied over that same period. So, you know, I think we've got something going here, and we will continue that again this year. But it's looking that build up, this constant application, and I'm seeing the same things in corn. Like I say, the data's in here, but try to summarize. This, again, is the 2016 data taken after 2015 compared to soil samples in the cotton field taken this fall after harvest. pH is still down low. We put the lime out just recently. But notice now that the phosphorus levels, look at what's happened to the phosphorus levels. Now, we have not been making phosphorus applications, but look at what's happened to phosphorus. We've got corn in that system. Corn is a big consumer of phosphorus, so we have really pulled down. So we're fixing to go back now and add additional P and K to this area because we know we're pulling it down. Potassium, again, you see quite a bit of fluctuation, but it's still, that one bounces all over the place. And depending on where the soil tests come from, cation exchange capacity is a little bit of variation there, but go down and look at the bottom number at zinc. Okay, before we ranged from 0.6 up to 47. Now we don't have this large range, but we do have, we have built up from 4.5 up to 6.7. So we are building up the soil test zinc. That's a band application, so we don't always know exactly what we're looking at. But, you know, generally we see more zinc deficiencies in corn. It's more likely to show up, but there it is. You know, the zinc availability usually depends on soil texture, organic matter. We have very little organic matter, so it's not a big issue. Phosphorus levels tend to interact with zinc. Our phosphorus levels are actually going down. High P levels can reduce that zinc availability. Ours is going actually in a different direction. We've been using a soil application rather than foliar application. Dr. Bobby Golden has been doing some of the foliar applications of zinc. Some of those products are fairly expensive. We wanted to look at the soil application in this. We rotated in 2018. We will rotate again into 2019. We're looking for even still earlier zinc applications for these things. So, you know, we've been going out kind of as a side dress, but I think we can keep going earlier and earlier and get it out. We're not able to put it out prior to planting. Our goal is to get planted first. So with that, I'll be glad. I think I've got, according to my clock, I got 1.12. So, and for me, that's rare. Yes, sir. We have not been taking tissue samples on anything. In Mississippi, we've shown, at best, poor correlation between tissue samples and yields. So, you know, with petioles and a lot of the tissue samples, which direction the nutrients are going is always a question. So we've not seen a very good correlation. So, no, I have not. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Okay, these are Lancaster. The first set of samples was run in the lab at Mississippi State, the Lancaster procedure. We've had some changeover in the lab, and it took me 6 months to get soil samples. I didn't say that. You didn't hear that from me. So I have shifted to a private lab that uses Lancaster also. So it's the Lancaster procedure. Most of our, or all of our recommendations, correlation calibration work in Mississippi is based on Lancaster, so I use Lancaster. Well, thank you. The red light just came on.